Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jimblasingame.com or jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. I'm excited about having Grace Marie Turner back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Grace Marie is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. She's one of our best friends. She's one of the world's experts on healthcare public policy. And again, I emphasize the world there because she's traveled all over the world helping organizations and countries understand how they should be structuring their healthcare. This is not just a national problem, folks. This is a global issue. And Grace Marie's one of the most important people in that discipline. She's the president of the Galen Institute, which is an organization that tracks these things. And she's here to talk to us about what you and I can do to make sure that our elected representatives do the best job possible on helping us have health care available to all of us and in an affordable way and in a way that makes sense for the 21st century. Grace Marie, welcome back to the show.
Welcome, Jim. You are far too flattering. All I do is know a lot of smart people who have a lot of answers.
Well,
network among them. You're one of them.
Well, I appreciate it, but you're the lady, and I'm excited about having you here this week because especially to help us get the week kicked off because there are a lot of healthcare things going on in Washington this week, aren't there? I mean,
it's
healthcare week, right? Okay. And so, what does that actually mean in Washington?
Well, it means that unusually, both the House and the Senate have coordinated and gotten their act together, which almost never happens.
Isn't that like a contradiction? Like an oxymoron? House and Senate coordinating?
Absolutely. Both the House and the Senate are expected this week to bring up a number of bills that address the health care reform. And there are probably half a dozen bills that are on the docket for potential votes, and they will both separately be voting on them, different versions. And whatever passes the two houses will then go to conference and then hopefully go back to each house subsequently to actually enact legislation to make some incremental changes. Nobody's talking about any sweeping major changes, but when you talk about free markets, it doesn't take much to get things moving in the right direction. For example, you're a battleship. You're leaving Manhattan. A 2-degree course turn is going to make a big difference in whether you wind
right.
up in London or in France.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that they're talking about. It's making some changes that help the market to work better so that people can begin the process of having more power and control over their health insurance and letting the market began to solve a lot of the problems that have plagued the healthcare system for now decades.
Well, now, the thing that you just said is having a lot more success in the House than it is in the Senate, isn't it?
It's going to be easier to pass legislation that I would think moves us in the right direction in the House than in the Senate. But who knows? You know, there are some things, there are some new coalitions, some new partnerships emerging that could actually let some of these healthcare bills actually begin to move forward. One example, there is a lot of interest in legislation that would help facilitate bringing the information technology age into the health sector. It is absolutely astonishing to me. Where else do you go in any other industry in this country where you go and you see rows and rows and rows and rows of paper files? No
right.
one uses paper files anymore except a doctor's office and a hospital. Incredibly inefficient and incredibly, it facilitates errors and it keeps people from having the information they need to make the best decisions, and it creates a duplication.
That's the statement you made a half a minute ago, Grace Marie, is a statement that nobody thought they'd hear in 2005, talking about an industry that is starting to become part of the technology age.
Absolutely incredible. And part of that is that it has been so rule-driven, and it's been so dependent upon sort of cost plus pricing, they didn't have the incentives that the rest of the economy did to get moving into electronic records, and they didn't. If those who did invest in technology were afraid that the platform that they chose wasn't going to be the one that was selected by the rest of the industry, so Hospital A may not be able to communicate with Hospital B if they didn't pick the same platform.
Right.
One of the things that Microsoft did was enable all of us to be able to communicate together on the same with the same software system. And hospitals and doctors' offices all have been afraid that they would pick wrong, so they didn't invest.
Grace Marie, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with our good friend, Grace Marie Turner. I'm Jim Blasingame. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Grace Marie Turner, the president of the Galen Institute, and the editor of Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. It's Healthcare Week in Congress this week, and they're going to be talking about, hopefully voting on, some very important issues. And Grace Marie is here to tell us about all that. She's one of the folks. She and her organization are some of the folks that help to orient the members of Congress the right way, to try to manipulate them, if she can, move them, encourage them, coerce them, whatever it takes, to make smart healthcare public policy decisions that are for the 21st century and that get us out of the 20th century way of thinking, the 20th century way of delivering healthcare into the 21st century, which is where you and I live and make our living. And Grace Marie, on behalf of all of us here who are the recipients of your efforts, we appreciate them.
Well, thank you, Jim.
It's
the battle for freedom.
I think you're exactly right, especially for small business owners, because the more we can have healthcare that makes sense, that fits the way we do business and the way we employ our people, the more we can be successful in our small business, and that's where our freedom comes from.
Absolutely right.
In terms of the marketplace. Give us an example of some specific bills that are being discussed this week.
The one that I think is the most exciting is a bill that is being sponsored by Congressman John Shadegg of Arizona, an idea that was first proposed by the White House, that would allow people to purchase health insurance in a different state. And the reason that's important, as small business people know better than anybody else, is because so many states have really overregulated their health insurance markets. They tell people what premiums they can charge, and you wind up having, and they tell people you can wait till you're sick to buy health insurance, driving up premiums. So people wait until they are sick to buy health insurance, and of course it's a lot more expensive, making it much more expensive for everybody else. And they put all these rules and regulations on what health insurance must cover, you know, from hair transplants to in vitro fertilization, that essentially says, and every one of those is legitimate, but essentially it says, if you can't afford to buy a loaded Cadillac, you're not going to be able to buy a car.
Mm-hmm.
So what this would say is, if you live in New Jersey or you live in one of these highly regulated states like Maryland nearby, and you can't afford the health insurance because of all those regulations and rules, you can go to Pennsylvania or Iowa or Virginia, where rates are lower. And it essentially allows interstate commerce in health insurance.
Right.
And it's not that you're not going to be regulated any longer. Your insurance isn't going to be regulated. It's just going to be regulated by the state that you choose, the regulations that you choose,
mm-hmm.
rather than the state that you happen to live and or work in.
Isn't this one of the big objections that they've had, some of the people have had, to association health plans? The crossing of the states, doing business across state lines, and bypassing the state insurance commissioners, that sort of thing?
A number of insurance companies in particular are concerned that the association health plans would not be a subject of the jurisdiction of any state. Pardon me. And they're worried that people would wind up buying health insurance that isn't real health insurance.
Mm-hmm. So it's a different argument then.
It's a different kind of...
Buying individual insurance across state lines is a different argument than buying association plans across state lines.
Yes, that's right. Essentially, you would buy under the same conditions. You could buy as a small business in a plan that would be offered in, you know, Virginia or Pennsylvania, just as you would if you were buying in New Jersey.
Right.
But you would say it's cheaper in Virginia, it's cheaper in Pennsylvania, and I can afford to keep my employees covered and still have a profit left over if I buy health insurance in the other jurisdiction. And one of the reasons that particularly attractive in a health savings account world is because as we move into health insurance that's real insurance with higher deductibles, you're really working with sort of dollar-denominated insurance more. You don't need to have a health plan right there and a network nearby. You can work with information systems that help you find the best doctors, the cheapest doctors. Not, you don't necessarily want the cheapest doctors, but the best doctors,
the best values,
and the best hospitals. But it's going to require a lot more consumer involvement. So the people decide for themselves how they want to spend their money on health care and not have it decided by bureaucracies, either public sector or private sector bureaucracies. So it's really empowering to consumers, it's empowering to small businesses, but there's also some responsibility that comes with that to make sure that you now are involved and engaged in making sure that money is spent wisely.
Well, what are the chances that, now this is going to be before the House but not the Senate, right?
This one is going to be coming up in the House for sure, and it's on the docket to possibly be considered in the Senate. I don't know if you know what will happen and whether
or not it'll probably pass the House. But
yes,
the same obstructionists who have been preventing association health plans from passing in the Senate will probably get this bill in the Senate too.
They may, but you know this one's a little different because it says you still are going to be regulated by an insurance committee.
By a state, but not your state. Maybe not your state.
But a different one you choose. Now, of course, commissioners don't like this.
Absolutely. No, they won't like this at all.
They lose power.
This is very interesting. This could be the camel's nose under the tent,
yes,
folks, to get as a first step to move us toward association health plans. I hope that's what this becomes. We're going to be right back with our good friend Grace Marie Turner right after these messages. More to come. Stay with us. 10 till. We're having an outstanding visit with our good friend Grace Marie Turner, and she's with the Galen Institute. She's the president of that fine organization. And Grace Marie, tell us a little bit about the Galen Institute.
We are a think tank. We're sort of a new age think tank, I guess I'd say, in that we specialize just in one issue. Most think tanks that people know about, Heritage Foundation, the American Enterprise Institute, the Brookings Institution, all focus on a number of domestic and foreign policy issues, and we specialize just in healthcare reform and particularly in free market ideas. I do a lot of speaking around the country. We put out papers, we do briefings, and are always delighted, Jim. The highlight is being able to talk with you and the small business owners of America who are the heartthrob of America.
Absolutely.
And also the ones most affected by the problems in the health sector.
No question about it. And the ones most likely to appreciate the free market approach that you make in your work with Congress. And give us the website, because I want my audience to know how to go to your website and find out more about some of the things that you're working on, some of the issues, some of the good, the bad, and the ugly, the things that we're succeeding with, that you guys are succeeding with, and the things that we still have a ways to go on. Give us that website, please.
Great. It's Galen, GALEN.org, on the World Wide Web.
And you can buy your book there, Empowering Healthcare, there, or they can download it in PDF form, can't they?
Right, and if you really want to sort of get a primer on what's happened in our health sector, go to the book. You'll see it down on the right-hand side, an icon for Empowering Healthcare Consumers Through Tax Reform. Go to the table of contents and read my introduction, because that's really a quick way of figuring out what on earth is going on in this health sector,
mm-hmm,
and how can we fix it.
Is the new Supreme Court nominee and the debate over that, is that going to suck some of the oxygen out of the work that you're doing? in Congress?
You know, I always think it's really better to be a little bit in the background, because if whenever you have health care be the absolute number one top priority, it becomes even more politicized than it is now. And sometimes when you've got other issues going on, people are feel freer to do the right thing rather than the political thing. And we were talking in the break, Jen, you asked me about what people might think about talking with their members of Congress about when they come back. And I think they when they come back in August, certainly they should talk about wanting freedom to be able to purchase health insurance in the state of their choice. I mean, this is interstate commerce. Why should we not be able to have it in health insurance like we do in everything else?
So we meet our representative, we're in a town hall meeting or something like that. Give us a little bit of coaching. The name of the bill in the House is what?
Well, they just call it the Shadegg bill.
The Shadegg.
All the bills.
Shadegg.
John Shadegg.
Shadegg. The Shadegg bill. Just say I'm in favor of the Shadegg bill.
John Shadegg in the House, and he is, and that's the one that would allow you to buy health insurance in other jurisdictions. The second thing that's important, I think, especially for small business owners and individuals, self-employed, is to allow people to have a tax deduction for the health insurance part of their health savings account. As we know, Congress passed legislation that allows people to put, families to put up to $5,000 a year aside tax-free to pay for today's and tomorrow's health care bills. It works like an IRA. This is your money. You get to keep it. Rolls over from year to year. And what this new legislation would do, and there are a number of different sponsors for this legislation, what this would do is allow those who don't qualify for the tax deduction right now for health insurance to be able to deduct the health insurance part that they purchase with their health insurance. Right now, as an individual, you want to buy health insurance, you pay with after-tax dollars.
Right.
This would allow you to pay with pre-tax dollars. Those two things, I think, are critically important to get people into the place where they can purchase health insurance on their own, become empowered consumers, and force the health insurance market to structure itself around being friendlier to consumers rather than always thinking that mega employers and government are its only customers and that consumers are just sort of fodder for the mix.
Those consumers are small business owners, and that's the other thing. That's the other thing that's different about the 21st century from the 20th century, and that's the direction that you're trying to move them toward. And Grace Marie, we really appreciate your efforts on our behalf. The website is galen.org, G-A-L-E-N. The president is Grace Marie Turner. Grace Marie, thank you so much for all you do.
You are the best, Tim. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Grace Marie. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Grace Marie Turner, folks, don't forget to check out the website there. I think you'll learn a lot, and you'll be a lot smarter when you're talking to your members of Congress. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.